So I'd like to welcome all friends who will listen to this message online from our website, perhaps later on today or tomorrow during the week. I especially want to welcome Shah, who I know will be listening, and to give her the greetings of all your friends, Shah, here in Chipping Norton, because you know that's where I am this morning. And they're missing you, of course, and looking forward to the end of the skiing season when you will return home again. But greetings to you and every blessing as you listen to this recording. I've just been given a copy of a book written by Reverend Godfrey Nicholson. Some of you will remember the name, Godfrey Nicholson. The book is called Portraits of the Master, and it's well worth reading. As I say, some of you will remember Godfrey. He was a maths teacher at Kingham Hill School and a local preacher in our circuit. I suppose we're looking back to the 80s or something like that. And then he went into the Methodist ministry and served in different circuits around the country, ending up in Leeds, from where he has just retired, but continuing to live up there because his wife is a school teacher. We've kept in touch on and off over the years. He's had a wonderful ministry, and he now frequently speaks to us on our Sunday evening Zoom. His book is full of moving stories, and I want to share one with you this morning. A young girl came home from Sunday school and told her mother that there was a new teacher. "Who is it?" asked her mother. "I don't know," replied the little girl, "but I think she must be Jesus's grandma. She talks so much about him." I thought that was lovely. I want to talk about Jesus this morning, and my portrait of the Master is the Master Restorer. I was disappointed last night. We listened to a service on, is it TBN UK, it's a Christian channel, 65 on the Freeview, and we have listened to some quite good stuff on there, but I don't know what church it was, what preacher it was. We listened to him for half an hour, and he only spoke the name of Jesus once. There was nothing wrong with what he said, but somehow it seemed to me he was really going all around the reeking. So I pray the Lord won't let me do that this morning. Keep to the point. Some while back, I think it was May last year, I spoke about being inspired by the BBC programme of The Repair Shop. It continues and continues to inspire and amaze. The sheer variety of the items brought in and the stories behind the items, the emotions involved, the memories involved and evoked. And then above all, the skill of the restorers, as they almost always exceed expectations. Hazel and I still love watching it. Along with Call the Midwife, it's our must-do programme. I can't help feeling that there is a strong relationship between these treasured items and the lives they represent. I can't help thinking and wondering about the current state of your life and mine. Are we feeling somewhat bruised and battered, perhaps even undervalued and left on one side? We've had some very difficult times. Can I invite everyone this morning to meet Jesus, the Master Restorer? I often wonder if behind the scenes on that program, some items are taken along and found to be beyond repair. I don't know, I just wonder. But if I take you to the heavenly repair shop this morning and to Jesus, the Master Restorer, I believe there is no life too bad, no life too neglected or spoiled that he can't restore it. In a moment, I want to share one or two stories that will corroborate my claim. One thing I've noticed about the people who bring the items into the repair shop is that they sometimes come in somewhat ruefully, perhaps with a sense of shame that they have allowed these things, which are, after all, have treasured memories, speaking to them perhaps of their parents or someone who's passed on. And they seem to have a sense of shame that they've allowed them to get in such a poor state. Also, of course, they come in hope that they can be repaired. And they're prepared to leave these items in the hands of the repairers, trusting that they are able to achieve the desired result. Isn't that a little bit like the way we come to the heavenly repair shop? A little bit like the way we come to Jesus, the Master Restorer. Firstly, we come in shame that we've allowed our lives to become blighted and spoiled by our behaviour. Secondly, we come in hope that our lives can be changed. And thirdly, we trust him, we put our lives into his hands and ask him to restore and renew us. The good news is that he can and that he will. No one is beyond his help. No one is beyond redemption. I just want to share one important point here. There is a cost. The people who bring the items to the repair shop do not appear to have to pay for the work. But there must be a cost involved. It's actually probably you and me that pay that cost. It's probably the license payers who are actually paying that cost. But there has to be a cost. There is also a cost to the restoration and the redemption of our lives. The dictionary indeed explains the word redemption as the action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment or clearing a debt. Our scripture said, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Peter was reminding his readers of the basis of their redemption, the cost of it, and their restoration from the previous empty lives to what they were enabled through Christ to enjoy in their present time and experience. He was taking them back to the cross of Calvary, where Jesus paid the price of our restoration and our redemption with his life's blood as he suffered for each one of us. There is a cost, a massive cost, but Jesus has paid it in full. I want now to give you just one or two examples of people whose lives have been restored and redeemed by Jesus. I love to hear testimonies of lives that have been rescued by him. Just a few weeks ago, we were listening to songs of praise coming from Bristol. You may have seen it. And Alid Jones interviewed a woman whose life of addiction to drugs had been turned around by accepting Jesus in her life, and she had been clean for 12 years. I listened to a preacher recently, this was a better one, in the States, and he had just met a woman with a similar story. She had said to him, "Nobody understands what Jesus can do. I am what Jesus can do." Recently, I have bought a book called City Lives, True Stories of Changed Lives from the Workplace. I recommend the book to you, City Lives. Some of the people featured are high flyers in their field. Gavin Peacock, for example, Premier League footballer. Oxford professor John Lennox, I remember him preaching down the road here at St Mary's a few years ago. Major General Tim Cross, and a number of others. But the one story that left the biggest impression on me was a director's PA, a lady called Yvonne Edwards. She had a very successful career, wealthy husband, two lovely children, and yet somehow, possibly because of the lavish lifestyle they enjoyed, she'd become, over many years, addicted to alcohol. It had begun to get dangerous and was impacting on their family life. It reached the stage when her husband, in desperation, booked her into the Priory, a private psychiatric clinic in London. It's famous for treating celebrities, and you see it mentioned from time to time in the newspapers. Yvonne soon became bored, and she was looking for something to read and hoping to find a copy of Vogue or Cosmopolitan or something like that. All she could find was a Gideon's Bible. She opened it at Luke chapter 7 and read the story of the woman described as a sinner who gatecrashed a party where Jesus was the guest. The proprietor of the house was not amused, but that encounter of this woman with Jesus transformed her life. You will remember the story. And the impact on Yvonne was immediate, and in her own words, and I will quote, "Suddenly I was overwhelmed with a sense of my own sinfulness before a holy God. It just came on me. As I read this account, I realized that my whole life had been lived in rebellion, running away from God. He'd given me the gift of life and health and family and home, and I had done all but destroy it and ignored him. This was my debt before God, but I also saw Jesus' love and forgiveness. I got down on my knees and at the age of 35, for the first time, bowed my head to something, someone bigger than me, and my ego with its pride and its arrogance. I surrendered my will and life to God. I said, I'm sorry. Sorry for the terrible sinful, rebellious, hedonistic life I've led. I was crying real tears." Wonderful testimony. 20 years on, she's never touched alcohol from that day till this. She is as overwhelmed by the love of God towards her as she was back in that night in the priory when she read about the woman whose debt of sin had been wiped out by Jesus, and she came to experience for herself transforming power of Christ's forgiveness. Like the people who bring their treasures to the repair shop, she came humbly, acknowledging her shame. She had a real need of restoration. She came in hope, and she trusted that Jesus could transform her life, and she did, and he did. Many of us who have the joy of accepting Jesus into our lives as our Redeemer, our Restorer, our Saviour and Lord, do not have such an amazing testimony. Perhaps, like me, you've had the blessing of being raised by Christian parents and have come to believe in Jesus at a very early age, and your faith has developed and grown and matured as you have grown through life. I don't have a memory of a specific first time or occasion when I first came to acknowledge Jesus as my personal Saviour and Redeemer. It would probably have been on my mother's knee. However, I do remember a time a lot later when I felt I had lost my faith. We'd witnessed some very tragic circumstances of a member in our church, and I started questioning, like you do, how can a God of love allow this sort of thing to happen? And our minister at the time was Reverend Tony Smith. Some of you will remember him. He had a great ministry here over about 10 or 11 years. And he was a great support to Hazel and I. I remember him coming out to visit us at Westcote, and he'd just wander in into our kitchen. He'd sit down and he'd just say, "How's it going, Tony?" It's a long time ago. Never had anyone who I felt gave me quite the same support as Tony did. He said to me, "You're in what the old Puritans used to call the dark night of the soul. It's like a tunnel, and when you come out of it into the light, your faith will become stronger than ever." And at that time, I was not convinced, but thankfully, he was right. I was brought back into a relationship with the Lord by the words of that lovely old hymn, which I've asked to be sung at my funeral. "O love that wilt not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean's depths it flow may richer, fuller be." And that was my experience at that moment in our little chapel at Westcote. Couldn't tell you who was preaching, let alone the sermon that he preached. It was just the verse of that hymn. And I thought, that's just me. That's just, I tried to get away from the Lord, but he wouldn't let me go. "Oh, love that wilt not let me go." That's as real to me today as it was then, and I'm probably talking, I don't know, 30 years ago. For some, faith in Jesus doesn't come until much later in life. I've been rereading a book written by a Mrs. D.J. Carswell entitled Sagas. You get it? You know the holiday company saga. Finding Faith After 50. Now, remember the name Carswell because Her husband is Roger Carswell, an evangelist, and he's agreed to do a week of mission in the Cotswolds in October. Invited by the North Cotswold Gospel Partnership of Churches, which I support. And they've issued an invitation and the dates have been agreed, and I don't have the dates with me now, but I can give them to you. And among other places, Roger Carswell will be coming to Chipping Norton. The main evening events, called Real Lives, centre on an interview which he gives to someone who has a conversion experience, and that follow that up with a gospel message. You could certainly think and pray about that opportunity to perhaps invite a friend, a neighbour, or a family member who is not yet a committed Christian. So returning to the book, Sagas, Finding Faith After 50, Stories of Changed Lives, I've chosen to speak about Ernest. I hope his simple but real story might touch our own hearts. He'd just lost his wife, unexpectedly. She was only 70 years old. At one time that seemed old to me, it doesn't any longer. He was shattered. They had been happily married for many years. Somehow Ernest carried on. Saturday was fish and chip day. On his way to the fish shop, he would talk regularly to a lady who would often mention the Christ Church Friday Club. Ernest was not a churchgoer, he wasn't interested. However, after some persuasion, he reluctantly went along to the Friday Club, where he just read the papers. He wouldn't participate in any of the games. One day, one of the helpers found him in tears, so she took him by the hand gently, led him into the church, and prayed for him. He acknowledged later he felt a sense of peace. And soon after that incident, he was invited to Sunday worship and he began to attend regularly. But he still had reservations about taking the communion. And it was not until he had a conversation with the minister, Reverend Hugh Palmer. Now that rings a bell with me. I know where he was a minister. All Souls, Langham Place, in the centre of London. And his daughter is the vicar's wife of Burford, but that's by the way. He was led down the aisle by the young helper who had befriended him at the Friday Club, that he felt he could receive his first communion. Afterwards, the faces of the congregation were a blur because he had tears in his eyes, not of anger, of pain or sorrow, but tears of joy because he felt he was a member of this church family. And not this church family alone, but also the wider family of God. In his own words, through my faith, I hope I am become a different person to that bitter old grouch I had become before the episode in the chip shop. I now enjoy the company of others and always feel that if I do have a problem, there's someone I can talk to and pray with. Ernest had trusted Jesus as his Lord and Saviour. His life had been restored. He'd found the truth of the words of the Bible. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Ernest was not addicted to drugs or alcohol. He'd just like so many more not felt the need for Jesus in his life. Perhaps it was not until he felt the sadness of bereavement that he experienced that need, and then only reluctantly. But the Lord is gracious, and however late we leave it, however long we may have ignored him or spurned his love, he receives us with open arms as the master repairer, restorer and redeemer. He's ready to transform our lives into his image and likeness. I wonder today if, as I speak, there is someone on your heart who has not yet met the Saviour. Perhaps a friend, a neighbour, or indeed a family member, loved and precious, for whom you have prayed for a long time. That's my experience. Perhaps it's yours. Someone you would long to bring to the Master Restorer. Friends, we must never give up. We must never give up praying for them and sometimes inviting them, even if we get turned down. I remember Reverend Philip Deller, minister of Chipping Campden Baptist Church, came to speak to us, it was before lockdown, so it was a few years ago now, telling us of a lady who had been invited 9 times to an Alpha course and had refused every time. But on the 10th time, she accepted, she attended, and she was converted. She came to know the Lord. So we must never give up. May the Lord bless and restore you and all those you love, and all those with whom you can share the message of Jesus, the Master Restorer. Shall we pray? O Lord, we pray that you will take what is of your word and use it for the blessing of souls today, not only for those friends who are listening in our chapel at Chipping Norton, but those who will listen later online. Lord, you know just where each one of us is on our spiritual journey. And we just do pray that each one of us may know the transforming touch of Jesus on our lives. And we pray for those friends, those relatives, those loved ones who we long to see open their hearts to Jesus, to let him in to their lives. Oh Lord, in your mercy and in your grace, we just pray that you will answer our prayers because we ask them in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our Lord. Amen.